Dog Wingate's in the building. We do have Mikey Michael Pettis in the building also.
Personally, I mean, with home invasions, a lot of times home invasions go hand in hand with the drug game. You don't see a lot of home invasions with people just going up in the average working man's. So it kind of goes hand in hand. But it's big because 9 times out of 10 home invasions, somebody getting hurt. You know what I mean? But I've been a victim of some myself. A couple of them. You know, one, I just happened not to be home. And the other one, you know, we was. But I mean, it's definitely part of the game. But a lot of times, like I said, it kind of goes hand in hand. And with my situation, I really wasn't dealing in drugs. But I was gambling and showing a little too much money at certain times. So it kind of went in. But I think the company you keep, you know, helped break that down too. But.
What about you?
I think sometimes it's activity, like criminal activity. You know, a lot of times people do home invasions is because they know or feel as though it's something in the house or money, drugs, and stuff like that. So most times people, they do home invasions with intentions to capitalize off people doing wrong. You know, sometimes the people that's coming in to do home invasions probably really, they feel like they're not really... They ain't really doing nothing wrong because they basically dealing with people that's in the streets and they taking something from people that's in the streets versus somebody that's working, the hard working people. That's how I feel.
So if somebody's in your house, you in your house, you strap home invasion, you have every right by law to gun them down. If somebody commits a home invasion, do you have a right, or do y'all think that or feel that a person has a right after they have left your house and maybe didn't even abuse somebody physically, but abused them mentally? Do you feel that that individual has the right to hunt that person down with a violent attack?
I mean, I know your mindset is that, but I just feel, you know, once a man leaves, I think it's, you know, you gotta handle it a different way because there's consequences for it. So are you willing to trick off the rest of your life for what he done? And then, you know what I mean? So. I don't think you should hunt them down, but I understand. I've been there. Like, I done hear it on back porches. Be all way honest with you. I done hear it on back porches, around corners, for people that have done things like that to me. But it just so happened that, you know, it might have been a good thing that I didn't find them or that somebody talked me off that cliff. Otherwise, I'm telling this story from the joint. You know what I mean? Forever. So I don't think you really had it right, but I can understand why your mind said, because I was there. It can happen.
I totally agree with Mikey. You know, you still have to, you know, keep your composure and not go to the situation once it's, you know, when if that happens and the person go ahead and go on the separate ways, that it needs to stay that way. You know, I feel as though that the right thing to do would be contacting the authorities and getting it in writing and then going from there. Once you go ahead and, you know, get things in writing, then you can deal with the situation after that. You know, that's just my opinion. I don't think
now,
that you
now
should.
Hold on. You an OG.
Yeah.
You from Eastside.
Right.
You from the projects in Eastside.
Right.
And you talking about snitching?
No, that's not snitching.
That's not snitching.
No,
so
not
could
at
you
all.
Clarify that for us?
Sure. If I give you a scenario, I'm at home with my family. Gentleman comes in and take something from us. He holds us hostage or whatever. He draws a weapon on us and we comply. He leaves. Procedure for me and my family is going to be go get it on record that somebody came into our home. We were afraid for our lives. Me, I'm a felon. So me being 46 and a felon now, I'm gonna operate different than when I'm 21 with or without a felon, you know what I'm saying, a felony. So the thing is like, that's not my definition of snitching. It's my definition of protecting yourself, because you have to go through different guidelines, because even though when you become a felon, a lot of people think your rights, you don't have many of them. But if you go through the procedure like you're supposed to, and I walk into a store and I see a gentleman that actually did that to me, you know, I'm afraid for my life. So, yeah, I'm from Eastside. So, being that it's in writing, maybe the outcome would be different. Maybe, you know, I might find a knife or something just hanging around. And then It's on from her. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to be in writing, so it have to be, it can be justified a little bit better, you know what I'm saying, for a person who's kind of lost their rights.
Now, there's a different action if you're still in the street. So you're still in the street life and somebody does a home invasion, then can you put it on paper, or do you have to handle that situation differently?
You know, it's definitely different rules when you're playing that game, you know, the street game. Because in the streets, you know, they're playing by a different set of rules. On this side, you know, I'm living a little different. You know, kids is involved. And then you say, well, man, I was protecting my kids, but then I'm doing 100 years. So, like he said, once it's on paper, you can move a little different. But without it, you back in the streets. So, with the streets, yeah, you can't just go telling and saying, because they're living different. They got the no snitch rule, even though that rule is completely being misconstrued. It's 100 different ways. Mm-hmm. Their definition of snitching is terrible. But I understand what you're saying. Like, if I'm in the streets, yeah, I can't be going to the people. You know what I mean?
If you're in the streets, you can't go to the people, because if you get got, it's usually because of something illegal that you ain't going to have in the first place.
You already doing
so. Which? I can't go to the Fifth Amendment says I don't have to bear witness against myself. With that being said, everybody in the streets knows you probably shouldn't bear witness against yourself. I can't call the police and say, hey, man, these three guys, one of them in a Kaepernick jersey, just ran up on me and robbed me for a quarter pound of loud and two zips of Hank. You feel me? I can't go and say that. So I don't have that option where he has a law-abiding citizen option to say, hey, you know, I want this on record. I want this documented. I don't have that option because I can't be on record. Otherwise, my record is going to be that much longer.
Absolutely.
So if you don't have the option of going to the police, then it's like, at the same time in the street life, I have to be tough. I have to keep up his hyper-masculine persona, whether that's me or not. So now I have to do something. Otherwise, if he got me, then you going to get me. All y'all going to get me. I can't keep getting got, so I got to do something to make a statement or make a name for myself. And that's where a lot of the violence come from.
Now, how big do y'all think the role of social media plays in the violence that we're dealing with in our society, in our community? Not nationally, but just here in Lexington. Do y'all think social media is at the forefront of all or a major part of the violence here in Lexington?
It's real big. I mean, if you look at it now, like, even today, your timeline's full of drama. People love it. They go live to go to fights. They go, because see, what happens is now is if me and Darwin get into a scuffle, you know, it might just be us six people there. It's work. Now it's going viral, and people can't stand it. So they're going to bully you and beat you. And social media is tough, man. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about it, you can put a post up now saying, man, this is, for instance, my kid's sick, you know, and let's pray for him. And you might get 7-8 people that, all right, Brandon, I pray for you. But get on there and tag and say, man, Mikey, wherever you at, I'm hitting you in your mouth. And it's 116,000 comments, likes. That's what people, they feel bad. So people are pressuring into a lot of people that's going through the stuff they're doing, even in the streets and the violence, that ain't really what they want. You can tell that by the way they put their hands up when they do go live and they fight. One of them people that won't fight. But social media, you can't be no punk. Everybody gonna know.
So when you just said that comment about fighting, you know, let's work with fighting. Knuckle up or shoot it out? What is your stance on that? In today's society, can a man afford to even knuckle up?
I feel you keep your hands to yourself, period. Because this is what happens. Like people say, and this bothers me. People always say, man, let's go back to the days where we used to fight. Well, it's like saying let's go back to where gas was 99 cents a gallon. It ain't gonna happen. So the key would be, you say, just put your guns down and put your hands up. Well, that's why they shooting. Because one of them couldn't fight too good. And people can't stand to lose no more. So now it's like, can I afford to beat you up? It's going to cost me more than just winning a fist fight. Because you probably ain't going to better take it.
Mm. Yeah. Mr. Wingate, knuckle up or shoot it out?
Man. I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm going to take it for what it's worth. You know, if you bring a pistol to the fight, then I'm gonna fight back with a pistol. If you come, you know what I'm saying, knuckle it up, then there'd be a knuckle up. I think the situation sometimes present they self. You know, I mean, me personally, I would rather fight. I would rather, you know, definitely my friends, the guys that consider they my friends, and, you know, we might have a little misunderstanding. I would like for us to go ahead and meet in Charles Young Park and go on and get a little scuff in and shake hands and cry and go on about our business. But this day and time, you know, a lot of the situations that's happened, it's really not with friends. It's with people on the other side of town, or it's people over women, stuff like that. A lot of that's going on. So, but, yeah, I would rather fight it out myself.
Controversy, man. Knuckle up or fight it out.
In 98, I was taught in the streets, through the streets, you know, we had OGs back then. I was taught that if they from your same hood, knuckle up. If they not, let them go.
Absolutely.
That's the way I was raised in the streets. Then it got to the point where everybody became so gangster, like Mikey said, that can't nobody, it's 2006, I can't take a L. I mean, every year it ended with, I can't take a L. Mm-hmm. I ain't taking no shorts, I can't take no L. So then it got to the point where it shoot. When I got shot, after that changed everything for me. I'm just being honest. Being shot, I would prefer to fight. I would much rather fight because I know we can fight and walk away. But like he said again, what happens if I fight and win? What happens if I'm ready to knuckle up like he just said, but homeboy got a pistol? And I think everybody got a pistol because that's what the streets has taught me. Most of them got them. If not, they within arm's reach. So I'm not going to take no chance on my life and not making it home to my family over wanting to be a noble guy and fight it out like the old Wild West. Nah, hey man, if we got beef today, beef is on site. They shooting people at the gas stations. They shooting people at the mall. They shooting people in the mall. I mean, all kind of stuff to where it's like, you know, nah. I would love to fight it out. But if it ain't somebody in a situation where I know for a fact they don't have a pistol, if I had the option, I'd let them go.
Go ahead.
Well, me personally, I'm just going to, you know, try to see if I can see the trouble around the corner so I can go the other way. More so is, I'd rather not even have that beef with you. If we in a situation where we can't fight, we just don't need to be around each other. Because people say all the time, man, I'm going to fight. But it's another thing when you lose that fight and it's on social media and all your kids and your cousins. And you see what happens when men get beat up on Facebook. You're just in Lexington.
What about when he wins?
Yeah, when he wins, they're going
to... Because the other dude...
Yeah, man, he feels some type of way.
If he wins and you hit him one good time and he knows he got you, he's going to tell you, I'm going to whoop that nigga every time I see him.
But then they're not even fighting. Used to be you fight a man, knock a man down, fight over. They stomping in people's heads and scalps and all kind of stuff. Man,
then let's get to that.
That's holding up ball game.
Fight it out. We decide we want to fight it out. Then if somebody stomps your head in, then do you have the right to come back with a gun? Because that's totally disrespectful.
You talking about if you get one-on-one fight and I get stomped down, or if I get jumped and a whole squad of people
does it make a difference?
It makes a difference.
It makes
this man knuckle up and I don't know what he knows, and he puts me in a huck a buck and slam me upside my head.
No, so, but
I wasn't that good that day.
It doesn't make a difference. I thought it was honor if you get knocked down for a real man to let you stand back up. But to stomp your head in the ground, it don't matter if five people stomped your head in the ground to one person stomped your head in the ground. The fact of the matter is you got your head stomped into the ground. And that's disrespectful. That's like attempted murder.
Yeah, so you
don't have the right to come back.
So you old school, right?
Right.
So man straight up fight, beat you up, you can go on.
Yeah.
But man knock you out, stomp out on your scalp and your mouth and your head, and it's a different, that ain't the regular law.
Kick your teeth out of your mouth.
Me, I'm going to accept my loss regardless. And I'm saying the reason why I say that is because a fight, to me, is not... A fight is owl gadging, headbutting, biting. That's a fight with me. So the thing is like, automatic when I get into a fight, that's what I anticipate. I don't anticipate no hugging and, okay, they done, break it up.
You fighting to kill, you fighting to live.
Because something can happen to a point where you die. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it ain't like you got gloves on and you got a whistle. No, anything can happen because, you know, when you encounter somebody, you got to be ready for the race care scenario, whether me getting my head stomped out, because that's what I come into. If I come into a guy that I'm fighting, I got to understand that I might get stomped all the way out. But I'm also gonna be intent. My intentions is to stomp him all the way out. You do what I'm saying?
And me, I was like yours, but slight. I'm not gonna stomp you out.
Right.
However, I'm gonna immobilize you.
Right.
Yeah. But at the same time, I've seen so many people get done bad by one-on-one fights.
Yeah.
To where anytime I'm in a physical situation, I'm gonna perceive it as though I'm fighting for my life.
And how do you immobilize somebody? That sounds pretty violent.
Not necessarily. It depends on the situation.
If they don't get up, or the individual still keep on getting up, it's going to come to the point to where you got to put your feet on them, right? Immobilize them?
No.
What are you going to do? Put them in the Fort Nelson?
Hey, look, you do whatever you got to do, man. What I'm saying is, say a woman runs up on you and she kicks you in the head. You slip and fall, she kick you. Do I have a right to beat her down and come back and shoot? No. It's levels, you know what I mean?
So if a dude does it,
we get into an altercation or whatever, and I can immobilize, which means we got hands, and I'm getting mine in, and he's not. That's immobilizing. You keep running up, I'm going to keep on giving them to you. If we got to wrestle and I got to hold you down, if I got to do pressure points or whatever, I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep you from touching me because I don't want you to hurt me at all.
So what I'm saying, so you in a scuff with this man. You knock him out cold, sleep, slobbing. You still stomping his head?
No, I'm out.
No, that's
what I'm talking about.
I'm out.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm
talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
I'm the guy that says let him
say the one
here
to quit us, for example. Yeah. You got some people that, like, I've seen fights where the David and Goliath fight. The guy that's scared, that can't fight a lick, versus the guy that's 75-0.
Right.
Square up, miss, and the scared dude land a nice dead smack to the nose. Knock him out. And when he come to, he won't go kill him. But no, take your loss like you took your wins.
Yes.
Well, see, right, so that's right. What I'm saying. Now, I'm not going to stop you on down. I'm saying that I'm prepared.
Yeah, that's what,
when right. I come to fight,
for that to happen.
I'm prepared that the person might not feel like me. He might knock me out.
And stomp you out.
But if he does, that's my problem. That's what came with the fight. You know what I'm saying? Now, if he stomp me out, see, my philosophy is a little different. If you stomp me out and I come to, and you look me in my face and say, man, next time I see you, I'm going to kill you. Now we have a problem because you just threatened my life.
Yeah.
If you'd have just wanted to accept the fact that you whooped me, I'm going to say, all right, look, man, you got me. When I get this tooth together, I'm probably going to fight you again. Just let you know.
Yeah.
Don't think it.
Yeah, you got
me. But if you look me in my face after you don't knock me all the way out, and you don't tell me, yeah, next time I see you, I'm going to dodge you. Yeah, it's on. I'm going to blow you. Oh, that's a different situation now.
I perceive you as
a threat. You know what I'm saying?
So you have to be immobilized.
That's my look to that.
This is, you know, we got to think we're a little older. You might get away with that, which sounds a little older than we are. But I'm just saying, we talking about now, today's time, social media, they ain't taking that. See, some of the young dudes, some of them can take a loss. But the stomping and the kicking and then jumping, then they going
to. So
then
what do you do? Don't let them fight one-on-one.
But a lot of them follow people too, though. Like their fathers. You got some people that's out here that if their fathers is, you know, done been in the streets and done proved themselves, whether it be through shooting, whether it be through fighting, a lot of people want to follow them footsteps. So what they do is when you get in a fight and you knock that guy out because of the fact that the honor of that father, oh, I'm going to look at this guy as, okay, Brandon, man, you know what? Brandon used to knock somebody else, whatever. Now I feel like I failed him.
Right.
I failed my father that, you know what I'm saying, that holds his own around here, or I didn't fight back or something like that. Then that's when pistol play come into effect.
You got to live up to certain expectations.
Sometimes it's like that sometimes, you know?
So I got a question, though. BJ, why are you over quiet? We talking about violence and social media. Ain't nobody on social media more than your age group. Do you feel like that there is a lot of violence that results from social media?
Yeah.
Can you break it down for me? Don't say no names, but just break down like some of the situations or things that you may see that social media causes or leads to.
Recently, supposed to be this weekend or something, some people supposed to be having two groups of people trying to fight at the mall over some people talking crap on social media.
Hmm.
So, is there any type of... Well, we'll get into that. We're going to get into solutions.
That's simply she want to see. Well, I got a question for you on that one. Do you want to see it?
Be honest.
I don't want to see it because I don't know what's going to happen after.
Hey.
But to be honest, you won't know who gonna get out.
Yeah, you
gonna
watch
that's
the
gonna
video,
be the talk of school.
And then that's how, you know,
when it go live, you gonna watch it the way you look up.
Right. Now my question is, in a situation like that, once they put it on social media that they say, hey, I can't stand the mayor, so I'm gonna whoop him on sight as soon as I see him and I put it out there. Do I have to go fight him at that point? Or can I say, you know what, I've changed my mind, I've had a change of heart, and now I don't want the violence. Once you put it out there that you're going to be violent, do you have to live up to it, or do you lose face or your reputation for not doing it?
If you don't do it, they going to be like, oh, yeah, we hold you or whatever. You ain't show up. You ain't about nothing. You ain't going to do nothing. Then it's going to get even worse because they going to be like, yeah, y'all ain't about it anyway. We going to do it every time. Y'all ain't going to be – y'all can't even show up to the mall no more because every time y'all come, we going to be there.
Take advantage of
it. So then – y'all don't have very many options then, do you?
You bet. Go ahead and get to it if you're going to fight. If you're talking about you're going to fight, you better go ahead and fight. Because if you don't fight, there's going to be everybody going to... You ain't going to have no respect because that's going to ruin your whole reputation. If you're talking about you gonna go fight or something and you don't do it, that's gonna ruin your whole reputation because everybody knows you're not gonna do it.
So how important is a reputation?
I mean, life is more important than my reputation.
But is your whole reputation contingent upon fighting? There's nothing else that leads to your reputation other than fighting? Is that what the state of our youth are in right now is fighting? Is that what your whole reputation is based on?
Most of the time, most people is like, they got a reputation because, oh yeah, because I can whoop all these dudes over here, so now everybody respecting me. Or if this dude over here can't fight, everybody's gonna know you can't fight and nobody's gonna respect you at all.
And fighting like is kind of like a gateway to the pistols. Like, you know, you start smoking cigarettes, so it start out with the little fights, with the little clicks. You're in middle school, but we know where they headed. You know what I mean? Oh,
yeah,
so you watch it now, like, I remember when I was in the school system, and they probably didn't like it, but I would tell kids that you were gonna be, like, somebody gonna kill you, or you gonna kill something. This is in sixth grade. Some of these kids have been buried. And saying no name, but some of these kids have died in the streets during these last couple years that I watched in sixth and seventh grade. You seen it. Man, you gonna be, this is gonna lead you to Cove Haven, or Old Frank or Bike. But that's what they, it's praise though. So it's like, how do you tell a kid, man, this ain't the way to go? He's looking at you saying, yeah, you saying that, Mr. Mike, you square. Are you saying it now and you square? Because you live in square. Even though you run suckers around all the ones that they think stuff. But think about this now. He chooses to walk away from the fight. He's bullied. That's what this is. Social media will bully you. Oh, man, he's soft. He's punk. They're going to tag you in 116. Ain't no praise for it. But if you go fight, you going to, young dude told me, man, if I fight, you know what I'm saying? If I win, I'm getting on praise. Or if I die, they're gonna put me on a t-shirt. It's how they feel. I'm gonna be a legend. Cause everybody died in the hood, we call them real. It's right. What we do. And they ain't all real. Cause I don't, what did they do that was real? He didn't take his kids, y'all call him real though. Cause he, you know what I'm saying? So you get that thing that says, it's like, man, do I, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, what did they do? So all the girls dig, the guys fighting. The young girls are digging it. Young girl ain't digging a little man with the good grades. And he can pet the rock and might catch a few. But the ones that's running, so it's, they in a tough position. Like, I wouldn't want to be living in their generation. Yeah. It's tough.
How old are you?
I'm 14.
Let me get a question for you, 14-year-old. You ever heard of Batman take first lick? I'm going to take you back to old school. The men that were strong, they couldn't find a way to prompt them. So what they did was they said, this hand was a person's mother. So they say, Batman take first lick. So if you hit my hand, I say, oh man, he hit your mama. And the fight ensues because you're strong to a point where you avoided everything else. The people come up to you and you say, man, hit me in my mouth then. Hit me in my mouth. Okay, well, make me know I'm a punk. Hit me in my mouth. 90% of the time, they don't. But now what's happening at your age is talk. I'm just listening to what you said, you know what I'm saying? Like, talk prompts you to put yourself in a situation where it can automatically know it can go from 0 to 100 really fast. Not just at a fight at your age. At 14 years old, you say, you know, somebody try to punk you or whatever, you have to feel like you have to fight. If not, they're going to keep on messing with you. But the thing is like, you really, truly, you create your own identity. That's what you, at my advice to a 14-year-old would be, create your own identity, meaning that you want people to walk around and say, man, what's it, BJ? Yeah. You know, man, BJ, check this out, man. You can't get him to fight unless you put his hand on, your hand on him. Put his hand on him, then it's something different. Because if you don't, if it's just about conversation, let them call you what they want. But when it comes to a point where they violate you to where you have to go there in a fight, then that's when you go there. But when you get tied up in the conversation of the Batman take first lick, you're going to stay in a world of trouble.
Mm. That's peace. Now, we got a lot of other things that help us understand violence. But before we do that, we're going to get into a few commercials, and we'll be right back with you with more Blackout Radio. Do parenting or parents play in violence? You know, if somebody hits you, you hit them back. You know, that's the way you raise. If somebody jumps on one of you, hey, it's four of us, all y'all jump on them. Don't let nobody jump on your brother. So what roles are parents in today's society and age do y'all feel is playing in this violent new trend of inner city violence?
I think the parents take, not the mothers that teach a kid to hit them back. Daddy's gonna teach his boy, you better not run. That's a major difference. So if they put their hands on you, you hit them back. Daddy's gonna say, don't run. So like when we was in the school, not gonna mention what name or whatever, we had a program, we had about 30 students. I was asking if they had options in fighting or not fighting because we was doing conflict resolution or whatever. They said, oh no, we can walk away. I said, well, what if somebody got a gun? Oh, I can walk away. Oh, well, what if somebody say something about your mama? Oh, I can walk away. What if your daddy's there? I'm not, no, I'm gonna beat them down to the earth. And and these good kids, just the mention and the thought of they seek the favor and approval of their fathers. And because your daddy says, you better not run, you better be, heck, y'all remember what happened to me? My daddy, you better not run, don't be no punk. I went out there and chose a Robert Gay skill. He beat me in the dirt. Let's be honest, he beat me in the dirt. Now, why did that happen? Because I felt when my dad says, don't be no punk, I felt that, man, oh, go show you're not a punk. Prove you're not a punk. So I felt like I had something to prove. Now, my dad wasn't asking for that. But the way I internalized it and interpreted it had a major impact on my behavior.
Well, you know, then you got to add in the granny. Your granny tell you that if they're bigger than you, you can't move, you pick up something. That was the granny, just said that in there.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I
crack them upside the head.
You know, the parent does play a part in it, you know, because then it's like, which that's what everything, like, they tell you hit somebody. I teach them, you tell them somebody hit you, you hit them back. But you also tell them a lot of other things that they don't listen to. So how do they choose what they decide to, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you can tell me, yeah, I told you to hit back, but I ain't tell you smoke your corn. I also told you go school and do what them people ask you do. And you ain't doing that. So you just chose the fight part. You know what I mean? So it's still a choice, but I understand it because it goes hand in hand. But, you know, it does. Like, everybody want to impress, but at some point you'll make that choice, though. Like, you can tell your kids everything right in the world, but they can also learn everything wrong. And at some point, they're going to make a choice. And that's where you become, where they think they've grown. But when you start making the choices, it's just a different, like, I can say all day long, man, my daddy told me to be a gangster and shoot everything smoking. But I also know the consequences of it at some point. So it's still a choice. But it does play in the hand because you can't send nobody's kids these days. They're going to do what mama said to do. And then their mamas are doing it.
Right.
Oh, their mamas are gangster. Yeah. They fight more than the men in the street.
So Smith is tough.
I think a lot of that, you know, being older, it's a lot of misconception. Because I think that when we were growing up, that, now that I'm older, I think the message was protect yourself.
Yeah.
The message was you and your brothers, it's a lot of y'all, like it's a lot of us, y'all go out. If Darwin get in a fight, I'm going to whoop your team if you don't jump in.
Right.
Period. You know, and what they did was, it really teaches you responsibility, and it teaches you how to make decisions. That's what the concept was. Now, granted that some people take it as daylight. Soon opportunity, they got the brother with them, there he is. Some people, and then you come back and lie to your mom and say, well, he threw a rock at us. Oh, well, but really, it was all staged anyway. So I think the concept basically gets misconstrued a whole lot, especially nowadays. I think a lot of times, you know, they forget that we've been there, done that, and I'm sure little BJ thinks he can run game on daddy and come up and go, no, daddy for real. No, he walked, no, daddy for real. And really inside, we want to bust out laughing at him, but we got to stay in daddy mode and be like, okay, son, what happened? Knowing the more that he talks, the more that he's embalming himself in fluid all over, you know. But the thing is, they think they got so much game. They sit and study how to conquer us instead of studying how to conquer the streets. Like, keep from getting in trouble. Not conquer the street as far as selling drugs. Do the opposite of. Like Mikey said, he located the sixth grade. He knew the behaviors was gonna wound up being the outcome. So the thing is like sometimes we can try to tell them all day long, but they gotta know. So it's just like, you know, sometimes you just gotta be like firm with them and just let them know that, hey, it's a concept. And when they do say something they think is game, you can let them set them down and say, look here, man. Just let you know, man, it'll cost you 9 lives. You know, your game is garbage. You probably couldn't get a girlfriend because it's garbage. You know what I'm saying? And then you go on from there. And then maybe they'll respect the fact when you call them out that, hey, man, I can't run game with my daddy. So let me just be honest. Hey, Dad, I want to go to the mall to watch this fight for real. I want to hide behind the pop machine in case they pull out pistols. But I want to know who's going to win this fight. That's what I really want to know, Dad. And then maybe his dad will say, you know what? Get in the car then.
I'm gonna take you.
I'm gonna take you, man. And you know, I'm gonna clown you the whole time. Look at him running. Look at him. Look at, you know, is it all cracked up what you really wanted to be? No, okay, you wanna see this? Okay, come on here then. Okay, now don't you close your eyes if they get in a fight and a guy gets hit in the jaw, slips and falls, busts his head, and dies in front of you. Don't turn around. No. Grab him by his shirt and say, look, because it can happen like that. It don't always, a fight don't always end peacefully. Right. And that's what, you know what I'm saying, a 14-year-old, what's his stomach going to be like to watch somebody's head get blown off their shoulder? He ain't coming out of the house. You know what I'm saying? But is that really what he's cut for? And then sometimes when they witness that, they want to go be about their life. Because they witness it. They can say, I seen somebody kill. And then they want to be, you know, they want to follow that, you know, like, I'm hard because I experienced something that you haven't. You know, when you got a dad, a family in the house, mother and father in the house, you got to take advantage, full advantage of it, man. You got to ask questions, man, and be honest. You know what I'm saying? That's me saying this to you as a 14-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Open up to your daddy. Be real about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, say how you feel. You know, whether it be girls, whether it be schooling, whether it be bullying. Because you yourself might be the bully. You kind of nice little size. So you might be a bully yourself. So your dad going to look at you and say, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not encouraging that bully thing. And if somebody come to my house and say you're bullying them, you know, not only are we going to gang you, me and the little boy, you're going to be on the punishment, I'm going to whoop you too. So I think it's concept, misconstrued a lot of concept, man. People take it. Use it to your advantage.
And before we get into solutions, because we still got a little bit of time, what role do y'all feel that drugs play in violence in Lexington? Either alcoholism, you know, cocaine, you know, speed balls, whatever you want to call it, heroin, weed, I don't care. What role do y'all think that drugs play in this violence that's going on? Because let's be truthful, a lot of people, these young cats are under 21. Mm-hmm. And they set that limit for drinking at 21 because hopefully at 21 you'll be able to handle your liquor. And I know a lot of these young cats can't handle their liquor on top of cocaine, on top chewies. Of loud, chewies, mm-hmm. pills, and everything.
Turning the King
Kong. So is that a major role within our community? Is drug addiction?
Ask T Grizzly. I say let T Grizzly answer that question.
What T Grizzly gonna tell you?
On that first, I think it's first day out. Maybe it's the second one, but he's talking about you. I ain't studying you if you do a robbery, if you popped a Molly or something. He's basically insinuating that y'all gotta be high to do everything y'all do. Half the shootings that take place is because somebody's high because they wouldn't do it sober. They not gonna fight sober. They not gonna shoot sober. So when you ask what role drugs play, they shooting over drugs. They shooting over drug turf. They shooting over the money and the attention of the females and the women that drugs attracts. They have to be on the drugs in order to be properly motivated and properly gassed up. So drugs got to do with all of it. People who own dealing drugs don't carry pistols for the most part. Let me rephrase that. A lot of people carry guns. The people who are tending to be using them the most in the streets are the people who deal in drugs in some capacity. Because you got people who carry guns every day. For 20 years, they ain't ever shot none.
Right. Yeah, some people carry the guns to protect the dope.
Yeah, and there you go.
And some people carry them, like I've even been in situations with a legal gun. You know, a situation where guys put a gun to my face, I don't know. And me pulling man, my instructor, look, man, I really don't want to shoot you. I'd rather take all these bullets home.
Yeah.
But if I'm in the streets, I'm saying, that's a reason. I'm looking for, because why? If you kill somebody in the hood, what do you become?
Reputation.
You're a legend.
Yeah.
If you die, you're a legend.
Is that the quickest way to become a legend in the hood is by killing somebody?
To die.
Or is it to die?
Die.
To die.
Yeah. And kill too.
If you kill somebody, you kill yourself.
You know how much you love
them. You know,
so,
yeah. You know.
You know, men don't want to come up to you right now and hug on you. You know, go to Cassidy, they lay on top of you, kiss you in the mouth.
Should have been me. You know, yeah, take me, Lord.
Yeah, and dump in her and then grab your hands.
And then close
and
your
all
casket.
That kind of stuff.
And then try to holler at your kid's mama.
But yeah, then as soon as they close your casket,
while living,
they go outside. They don't even stay for your whole funeral. They're going to show you love just for that little. As soon as they close your casket, they leave your mama and everybody yourself. So, but that's what you get. Dude told me this. Young dude told me this. I'm just saying, if I die, they're going to put me on a T-shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm a legend. So then that's when I go back to, we set these, and I say we because we're talking about people, we set these, what we reward. Like, I'm guilty. I've called people real, but when I think about it, what have they done that's real? Because if I call somebody real, it's people I've called, man. It's a real nigga. Right? That's what I'm calling it. But if you ever ask me, what made it real? Did he take care of his kids? That's my definition now. So, did he do for his people? Was he, you know, now we say real. And just think about this. Most people we call real, what have they done and made them real? But young cats are saying, I won't be real. So
I feel like this, though. Like you said, ain't nothing new. Ain't nothing new. If you look at every legend throughout history, name a black person that you know throughout history. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, they were great leaders. You got Marcus Garvey. You know, then you keep going back. Oh, Shaka Zulu. What was he, a warrior? He was a killer. Everybody, Mansa Musa, he was filthy rich, but he had an army at his disposal. Oh, the Pharaoh was this and that, and he had an army. Everybody back in the day was killers. All the legends is made of killers and violence because we as humans, that's what we respect. Especially as men, we respect violence. We respect testosterone. We live in a patriarchal society where all of the legends, King Arthur, you know, I mean, it don't have to be just black culture. Anybody's culture in any civilizations, the Mayans, they respected the killers. The killers, the rich folks and the powerful and the preachers have always been respected throughout society. We ain't got no preachers, you know what I mean? So all we got is politicians that are crooked, so mm-hmm. We respect the gangsters. Yeah.
I think the drugs, I feel you totally what you just said, totally hits that. Man, some truth, a lot of truth to that. I agree with everyone, including, you know, Brandon, that drugs do play violence do play a major role when you bring drugs in, and the reason why is because, like, I can remember, like, you know, he said he was gonna touch on gambling. I can remember me, I'm a gambler, so I can remember myself sitting around waiting on the drug dealers to get done to gamble.
Right,
but I always felt like the gambling was nothing. But for real, it's just worth selling drugs, because you can have a small altercation over a $5-6 bet and it'd be principal and get killed over it. But I always felt like, shoot, I ain't doing it. You know, police run up on us, I wouldn't run. I say, I ain't gonna be gambling. But then I look up, it's 75 packs around me. But I didn't run. I'm not gonna point the finger. I'm gonna go ahead and take one. You know, hey, I didn't run. Yeah, okay, well, if you feel it's mine, it's mine. Right. You know, hey, no, you don't need to know who's in the crap game, whatever. So I think a lot of time, drugs bring a lot of other extra, a lot of balance.
I think, we got a student minister, Damon Muhammad, in the building. Folks are gonna give him just to say, I just wanna say one thing real quick, if you don't mind. And that is, I think drugs also influence the violence, or the violence influences the drugs. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I was in a situation where I hurt somebody real bad a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And my drug use increased exponentially based on that fear of I did some harm to somebody, and I didn't know how to deal with the problem, so I used drugs to help relieve the pain, but the drugs at the same time made it easier for me to continue selling dope, to continue being violent and aggressive, and, you know, so I think that it can create a cycle, I guess.
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and get into solutions. We want to touch on gambling, but since we have so many educated brothers in here, we've got to get through these solutions. And I know one thing that my peoples, Darwin Wingate, always says is he don't do politics and he don't do religion. So I'm interested in hearing what his solution is to the problem without dealing with religion, or do you need religion in order to have a solution to the violence? So we will hear from Mr. Wingate, then we're going to bounce over here to student minister Damon Muhammad, to where I don't think he's a religious brother. I think he's a spiritual brother. But at the same time, you know, a lot of people might misinterpret that as religion. So let's hear from you, then we bounce him, then we go to Cousin Mikey, then Corey, then we'll do a follow-up with me.
Y'all can go ahead. I don't know.
Okay. I think it's, I think it's about targeting. So, like, I'm going to target a person,
what's the question?
Well, we just what's solution? The
solution? Solution. Okay, yeah, I'm a target. You know, like, I don't talk politics and religion because I'm not educated enough. I don't study the Bible, so I don't know the Bible to speak on it. I don't study the Quran, so I don't know the Quran to speak on it. So I don't approach a child based on what I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't speak politics. You know, if you want to talk politics, I say, hold on, give me 1 second. Do you know Brandon Dunn? I call you, give him your number, and you and him can argue, fuss, and fight over politics. I'm going to go to the child armed. If I go, like, if somebody calls me up and say, hey, I got a little BJ here, man. He's my son. You know, he's been in the household of politics. You know, all his uncles, they done did this or whatever. But it's something still that they missing. I need you to go dissect him. I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to shake his hand. And I'm going to say, hey, how you doing, man? It's not about me being a Christian. It's not about me being Muslim or anything that I'm coming to you as a man and to talk to you on the end of a man and to get to the solution. I'm going to target the individual based on what the solution is. And I try to speak on what's happened. Like, I can reach people that I feel is that's heading to a path that I was on. You dig what I'm saying? You know, I can't go talk to the child that's basically not doing what I'm doing, but I can recommend the father. Hey, he's doing what? Oh, he's stealing. I ain't never stole nothing in my life. So, okay, well, you might need to holler at somebody that went to jail for stealing. You know what I'm saying? You might want to get that person. I try to stay on the target of whatever it is about. I try to, you know, it's not always the parents. You know, it's not always the preacher, and you need everybody. It's not always that channel that you have to come to that person. So, you know, to deal with a certain individual, you might have to come with 3-4 different people that can speak on all different terms of what this child, because you got some people like, before I move on, I'll give you a prime example. I had a gentleman, I always have stories because that's what my life's based on. It's based on experience and stories. I don't speak on nothing that I heard. You know what I'm saying? I speak on what I've experienced, you know. And if I heard it, I'm going to say, don't take this. Now, I don't know how true this is because I heard it. You know what I'm saying? I try to cover myself. But a gentleman told me, he came in to my bar the other day, and he was growing. He had a bald head, and he was growing a half beard. And he asked me if my bacon was pork. And I said, well, I got turkey bacon and pork also. Because he wanted me to say, why are you Muslim now? Because I've been knowing him all my life. He's been a straight pork eater. So I guess he thought I was going to, and I didn't. I was just like, I have that. Those are the options. You have a pork and you have, oh, well, you know, I'm Sunni now. And this and that. So he went into his whole politics. So I plugged my ears. I said, wrong dude to talk about that. Don't. I plugged my ears. And he's like, that's just respect. I said, well, you take a sound disrespect, fine. We have turkey bacon and pork bacon. I don't have to know about your religion, what happened. You hit a rock and turned over. I don't have to hear all that. But I tell you what, though, I know Brother Muhammad. You can go down there and catch him on the corner of Russell Cave and New Circle and buy you a bean pie or something and set him down. And I'm sure if you don't know your stuff, he can get you right. Yeah. But this is the wrong spot.
As long as your money's green, you can buy one of these babies.
You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, you know, it's just that most of the stories, man, the solution is you need everybody, man, to participate in whatever they know, whatever role that is, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, man, they belittle you. They put you beneath them if they feel like, oh, Brandon ran for, you know, he ran for Congress. I can't talk to him. You know, some people like afraid to deal with people that are smart or intelligent. You know, oh, his words are too big. They want you to curse. They want you to talk more down their level and maybe they can understand you better. So I think we need everybody. That's the solution, man.
I want to start, but I'm late into the conversation. But you know, to lead in to the problem, I think the main problem I'm gonna get right to the solution. But the main problem I see is unchanneled aggression and lack of guidance as the cause of violence in our community. The males, I think Corey has said, we naturally aggressive. You know, my children, like, they in two violent sports. My daughter and my son were in boxing and karate. Nothing wrong with certain kind of violence. I used to play football. My coach used to tell me, you got a license now to take somebody's head off. But you know, it's channeled aggression. And I think, you know, along with the drugs, of course, it refuels when you got misguidance and add drugs and alcohol and add ego to somebody's who are misguided, and you can't channel that aggression, then you know, then you're gonna get violence. Hell, God by nature, now I ain't talking religion, I'm just talking spiritual, God is a warrior. You know, we all got warrior spirit in us. You know, some of us manifested more, some of us manifested less. But you know, we got good coaches in here is what I see, you know, so y'all's job is real important. You know, that's challenging a young man and a young woman, but mostly young men, because we most of the ones committing the violence. You helping to channel aggression. You know, we as men, we need to have things for our boys, and that's the difference between what we had in history. and what we don't have now. In history, we had rites of passage. When you look at roots, hell, they made you wrestle one another. They made you wrestle the big man, but it was controlled. You know, it's aggression is natural, but it's controlled. We need to know when to use aggression and when not to. When I was on the way over here, I heard you, you know, talking about the parents that hit them back, and that's right. You should hit somebody back, but that's controlled. We used to do that back in the day, and my parents, but you didn't see the violence that you see today, like you saw yesterday. The difference is channel. You had people there to guide the child, the home. So I think strengthening the home, strengthening our home life, how to make a family, how to build a family. Because right now I see that's the major problem with us and our children. They don't have a good structure to lean on. So they just out here, and we live in a culture of violence. Hell, we live in a government that just bombs people. Gangster government. That's what we live in, and this is what our children
biggest
see.
Biggest gang in the world.
Biggest gang, right. Biggest gang in the world. And this is what they see on TV through movies. It's cool to be violent. So now you got an unchanneled, aggressive child being influenced by what they see on TV, what they see their uncle doing, what they see their friend doing, you know. But to me, it all stems from, man, our homes are messed up. So as a community, we need to work on home life, because it all starts there. Everything starts at home. I think that's one solution.
Peace. Yeah, well, and kind of like what he said with being taught. Like, when you bring and I always remember this growing up, my grandmother used to always say, like, when you bring a baby into the world, everything the baby, they get, they didn't talk. So they don't come into the world smiling. Mm. Baby come in serious.
Come on, man.
We teach them the Google guys and the smile, and it's all with everything else that they learning. So, but the difference is, at some point, even while we teaching them, you make a choice. For instance, I was born into a very violent street family, and I seen it, and it was praise. I had some uncles, God rest their soul, that people say, man, he was a gangster. I wanted to be a gangster. But then I seen some other stuff come with gangsters. It ain't just, I start seeing people go cold, baby.
Come on, man.
Wait a minute, he missed three Christmases. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the choice, but it wasn't as praised then either. So it's like, we gotta stop praising. My solution is, we gotta stop praising our women. And I tell you, black women are the most influential people in the world. People say, why you say it? Because y'all control a lot of the violence. What do you mean by that? We ain't out the streets. This is why. Because men do, everything we do it for what? We want the praise from a woman. So if women say, I want the guy with the longest hair and the best cardboard box, we're going to be at Walmart fighting over them boxes they throwing out back. But now when you think about this, majority of the chicks dig what? The thug, the tough guy. So if they start saying, well, you know what, you're going to be out here playing these streets, I don't want you. You're going to keep selling this dope, I don't want you. Oh, you ain't taking care of your kids, I don't want you. But they ain't doing that. So I'm telling a young dude, man, them streets ain't for you, but it's for her. You know, so that's one of the solutions. Our women have to start holding us accountable for the ignorant stuff we're doing. And stop praising. And even us, some of us, I've been guilty. There's people, you know, I can think back when I used to say free this person. I'm like, free him for what? And then I'm thinking, man, why was I saying free him? He right. broke a whole lot of. You know what I'm saying? He took some poo-poo on me. He robbed some people, wasn't even buying no bad.
Right.
I said, friend. But I was putting that out there. So then my nephew may say, man, you know what I'm saying? So then you got the young kids, they watching their mothers. And they say you're going to date the type of women that your father's attracted to, or the type of woman your mother is. These are your options, majority. Or my daughter is going to end up being like the women that she's raised around, or that her father likes. They say these. So you watch these young cats now, and their mothers is digging the thugs. What are they going to be? And even ain't saying his mom was a bad person, because she might be good. That's even worse. She's a good woman. He know it. She worked every day. But she like big guy. So if I want a good woman, what I got to do? So that's the solution. We got to stop holding people and praising people and holding, you know, we don't hold nobody accountable. And I tell people all the time, like, they got that saying, everybody doing good in the hood ain't doing good for the hood. But we don't hold them accountable. We ain't going to say nothing, because he's from the hood. Leave him alone. But let Jacob or Becky come in our neighborhood.
Yeah,
and start doing something.
Right.
So we got to start holding each other accountable.
Hey, I'm going to say something real quick, if you don't mind. And it's religious, but I'm going to make it non-religious.
Yeah.
All right, to say, this is from today's text. a New World Translation Watchtower article, whatever. It says, and this is, it brought up a scripture, Romans 8, it's based on Romans 8:3. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit on things of the spirit. Now, that can be religious or it can be psychological. When you are in your highest self, you're trying to achieve positive things, you focus on love and beauty and joy, prosperity, you focused on faithfulness and happiness and loyalty and respect. When you focus on positive things like the fruitage of the spirit, so to speak, you ain't got time to be worried with the ignorance. Absolutely. So my solution is stay away from the ignorant folks that's engaged. If you and your lower self, if you engage in it, you want to bust somebody's head, you want to be violent, you want to go to, stay away from those folks. My solution is stay as far away from as possible, and you ain't got to deal with a lot of that negativity.
Create your own identity.
You know what Brother Corey was just saying? It's so true. And what he was saying, but really what he said and what he said go hand in hand, it goes back to accountability because, you know, I work with brothers all the time. They want to get away, but it's the habit, it's the pull of that world and not knowing, wanting to get out the way, wanting to stay out the way, but don't know how. Don't know how to gird up the muster up the will. So, you know, we got to have an environment. And I want to enunciate what he said, where we hold each other accountable as men. I think that's big, especially, I always say, in a city like Lexington, we can eradicate half of the violence. Because everybody that's doing the violence ain't from here. But most of the people is family. I mean, be first and second cousins. But since it's boo-boo, I ain't gonna say nothing. It's Junebug, I ain't gonna say a damn thing. We need to snatch Junebug's ass, excuse me. I'm religious. But hell, if it was my son, I'm snatching that ass.
If it's mine, snatching
I'm snatching the ass. They won't get to beat him up in jail. I'm gonna do it. You know, but that's what we don't do. You know, we need to snatch our own before they leave. Hell, we know who the dope man is. Our damn first cousin. The hell how come we ain't snatching his ass? When we decide as men that we had enough, that's what the Chinese did, you know. They got raided by the British with opium. They had a drug problem in China because British, the white people, the Europeans want to take over. When China knocked that drug opiate thing, you know what they men did? They went and rallied up. They family members, they friends. The other men said we had enough. Damn it, it's enough. You know, so when we have enough and really want to hold each other accountable, we can solve it.
Well, y'all heard it here first. Blackout Radio Solutions to curving the violence. We have 30 seconds, so you know I don't have too much time other than saying do your part. Everybody has a part, everybody plays a role, and your role might be simply teaching children how to read. If you're reading and you're gaining knowledge, you know, you don't have time to be violent. You know, if you have two different types of people, you have a person that wants to take a life, you have a person that wants to save a life. So let's teach our children the power in saving lives. So, you know, if anybody wants to learn first aid, CPR on how to save a life, get at me. Blackout Radio, Brandon Dunn. You can hit me up on Facebook because we in the business of saving lives. So, you know, you heard it here first, Blackout Radio. Appreciate everybody coming through. Brandon Jr., Darwin Wingate, Student Minister Muhammad, Cousin Pete, Mikey Pettis,
and Anonymous.
And Anonymous. We'll leave it at that. And, you know, appreciate y'all for tuning in. Blackout Radio. Peace.